Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the race of the Christian life, it is possible to be certain that you will finish at last in heaven. Knowing your destiny makes all the trials of life bearable. The assurance of salvation, that's our focus on today's broadcast. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Today, Pastor Lutzer begins a message on a place of absolute safety. Join us now for Held in God's Hands.
For by grace we are saved, the Bible says. It is a word that is used interchangeably with the word conversion or being born again, as we learned last week. But the question I want to ask you today is, how many times can you be saved? Do you ever need to be saved again? There are those who say that they can lose their salvation. Ted Turner, who is known to many of us and who received the Humanist of the Year Award a number of years ago, said that he was brought up in a Christian home and was saved 7 or 8 times and felt better when he lost his faith than when he had it. Well, how many times can you be saved? There are some people who say that you can lose your salvation. You can come to saving faith in Christ, you can be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and then because of backsliding and rebellion, you lose your status with God, and if you died, you'd be lost. Some people say that this happens, as a matter of fact, whenever you sin again. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if we lost our salvation every time we sinned? You know, in churches that believe that, I remember a woman who was in our home told us that she came from a tradition where that was the doctrine, and there was a town drunk who got saved every Sunday and then got drunk again every Monday. And after he got saved one Sunday morning, the pastor said, "You know, the next time you get saved, we ought to shoot you." Now, he did have a point. After all, if he got shot after he was saved, he'd be in heaven. If he got shot on Monday, he'd be lost. So do him a favor and blow him away right after he believes. Well, if that was the gospel, I can assure you it would not be good news at all. I was riding on a plane one time and a man said, "I can't stay saved," he told me. He said, "I'm on furlough from living the Christian life." And then there are those who say, no, you don't lose your salvation after you sin some sins, but if it is willful sin. John Wesley, whom we admire for many other things, held a view similar to that. It has to be a willful sin. It has to be knowingly done. And I'm saying to myself, John Wesley must have been more righteous than I am, because sometimes I sin willfully, knowing what I'm doing. And if there's anybody who says that they have never done that, you can come up later and you can privately confess the sin of lying to me. The fact is that we all sin, sometimes deliberately sin. And then, of course, there are those who say, no, only in the case of extreme apostasy. Now, if you were here last Sunday evening, you know I looked at those passages of Scripture that appear to teach that one who is saved can lose his or her salvation. Today, what I'd like to do is to emphasize that the preponderance of evidence in the Bible is that those who are truly saved will stay saved, and God will take them all the way to heaven, however many bumps there may be along the way. And the reason is because the work of God in salvation is so deep, involves so much of God's sovereignty and God's purposes, that he would not leave to chance, nor to even our own wandering, the possibility that his eternal plans and purposes would be frustrated. So today we're going to become builders, and what we're going to do is to sink 3D pillars right into bedrock, and upon those pillars we shall see that the doctrine of security rests. Romans chapter 8 is our passage. Romans chapter 8. All those who have been saved more than 6 weeks, to put it positively, should be able to quote Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26 and through to verse 29. Someday, if I live long enough, what I'd like to do is to preach an entire series of about 10 messages on these verses. Today, we get the overview. This is the scenic route. Let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul is saying. First of all, he's saying that our security really rests in the very plan of God. In the very plan of God. We have to pick it up here in verse 29. And what I'd like you to do is to notice five big words that Paul uses to show the work of God in salvation. Don't be afraid of big words, because sometimes big words have big meanings. And these are five big words with explosive and big meanings. Notice it says, for those whom he foreknew. That's the first big word. You say, well, to foreknow something means just to know ahead of time. No, God knows everything ahead of time. This word foreknowledge is never used of events. It is only used in relation to people. Because the word foreknowledge, as it is used in the Bible, does not mean simply to know ahead of time. It means that God foreloved these people. For example, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, 11, verse 2, rather. God hath not forsaken his people whom he foreknew. Well, he foreknows everybody if you're just talking about omniscience. What it means is God has not forsaken those whom he has chosen, those whom he has foreloved. You realize that if you're saved today, you were foreknown and you're included in this text. The second big word that is used is the word predestined, which means predetermined. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. That word predestinate means to mark out ahead of time. It was sometimes used of surveyors who would come to a location before anybody showed up. And they determined that a street would go here and an avenue would go the other way. And they determined all of that before the inhabitants began to move into town. God says that those whom I foreknew are the ones also whom I have predestined and marked out ahead of time, that they will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that Christ might be the firstborn, but that he might have many brothers. And that's what the text is saying, is before we were born, it was predetermined that we would be like Christ. Now notice the third big word. It is the word called. Now think this through. Here we have the first two words in eternity past, God foreknew and God predestined, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The word called speaks about our present experience. It is the effectual call that leads people to saving faith. Nicole Chapin, who used to be a Buddhist, whose testimony we just heard here. Do you notice that the first words out of her mouth were, the Holy Spirit drew me to Christ. Nicole, I don't know who discipled you, but they had some really good theology. Really good theology. That is the effectual call. And now notice what happens after we are called. What happens? These he also justified. That's the other big word. And may I say that if you have not been here consistently for the messages in this series, I would like to encourage you to get the message on justification and the message on grace and the others that fit into this series. Justified means that God declares us to be as righteous as he himself is. And I pointed out that unless you are as righteous as God, you will never get to heaven. Never. And it is only because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, which is the righteousness of God, that God accepts us. So after we are called, we are justified. And then the text says, whom he justified, the very same number are the ones whom he glorified. Someday we're all going to have glorified bodies. We're going to look a lot better than we look now. We all have to do the best we can with what we have, and with varying degrees we succeed. But someday we're going to be glorified. What does the text say? That we might be like Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I want you to notice that the word glorified here is in the past tense. God says, consider it a done deal. Whether that's good English or not, consider it a done deal. You are glorified. Now follow this. Here are five beautiful links in a golden chain. The first link begins in eternity past, those whom he foreknew and those whom he predestined. And then you have the word called, which has to do with our present experience. And now we have been justified, and in God's sight we have been glorified. It goes from one spectrum of eternity to the other. And follow carefully. The very same ones whom he foreknew are the ones whom he glorified. I don't believe that there is any slippage. I don't believe that anyone is falling through the cracks. I don't think that God's purposes are frustrated because of our sins. And, may I say it, though I'm going to receive letters about it, even because of our backslidings, grievous though that may be to God, God's purposes will be fulfilled. And he will take those whom he foreknew all the way to glory. And God says, you are already there.
I want you to know that your salvation was, if I might put it colloquially, a big deal to God. He chose us in eternity past, and then in time he led us to saving faith, and now he's going to carry us all the way home. These are the kinds of truths I make clear in a book I've written entitled How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God. I want you to have a copy. I think it will help your faith, it will strengthen your faith, and I want you to also consider giving it to a friend. For a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you. It will deal with issues of saving faith, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the need to experience the new birth, and I trust that you will use this opportunity to bless our ministry, even as you consider this book, How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God. We here at Running to Win exist to help you run the race of life with assurance and joy all the way to the finish line.
When Babe Ruth pointed to center field, he knew where that ball was going. And Christians can know where they're going after death. That's because our assurance of salvation is built on three pillars in the Scriptures. Next time on Running to Win, more about those pillars. How you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. What can be more important? Pastor Lutzer has written a book by that title, and it can be yours as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.